On a hot September night in 1964, a bomb exploded under the bedroom of 5-year-old Anthony Quinn, youngest child of Mrs. Aileen Quinn. Aileen was a single mother of 4, restaurant owner, and voting rights activist in the small town of Macomb in southern Mississippi, deep in Klan country. It was her daughter Jacqueline's 9th birthday, and after the bomb collapsed the front of the house where she and her brother were sleeping, you could see party streamers and birthday cake through the gaping hole. This act by the KKs, as they were locally known, would be the reason Aileen Quinn was often mentioned in histories of the voting rights efforts in Mississippi in the 1960s. She was active in the movement, fed workers in her restaurant, and her house was bombed. Rarely do we learn more, often less. For anyone who knew Mama Quinn, as she was called by the young activists she fed, the idea that she would be remembered for an act of violence committed against her and her family, and not for her many brave actions of community organizing and service to the movement, is a disservice to her lifetime of work. But the story of why Mama Quinn's house was bombed, why she was considered such a threat that her life and those of her children were in grave danger from white men, is the story of Black women's activism. It is the story of persistence in the face of great violence and of individual civilians wielding what tools were available to fight for Black freedom despite a coordinated and insidious effort by the state and federal government to stop women like Aileen Quinn. To tell her whole story, or as much of it as those who knew her remember, is to represent how Mrs. Quinn was fierce and generous and one of a kind, as her daughter Jacqueline describes her. Her story also shows the power of community organizing, or activist mothering, as Dr. Francois Hamlin coined it, of the bridge leadership of Black women, which Dr. Belinda Robnett describes, and of the way she used what role she had available to her, owning a restaurant and the cooking and serving of food, as a tool for social and political change. But telling her story is also to show the bigger picture of how the many intersectional forces that limited the roles for women and compounded the discrimination against them has had a lasting effect on the experiences and perceptions of Black women and Black women leaders today. It is only by learning from the past, and not just acknowledging it, that we can begin to move beyond these stereotypes and the social, cultural, and political structures that caused them. Aileen Quinn was known to quote her grandmother and say, "The 4th of July wasn't for Black people. In May, that's when we was free." She was likely referring to the month when news of the Emancipation Proclamation reached different areas of the South. May being when the document's resulting legal freedom reached her grandmother, who was living enslaved in Mississippi. Born in Walthall County, Mississippi, Aileen gained her own understanding of history from her grandparents, which was likely much different from the propaganda that the white-run schools insisted be taught, and from her own lived experiences. In particular, her politics were shaped early on by conversations about her lineage, which included white, her grandfather's father was his enslaver, as well as American Indian and African ancestry, and by her memories of walking to school in the mud while white kids in school buses passed by. She was struck early on by the blatant inequities, not being allowed to eat in the same restaurants, having to attend different schools with many fewer resources. "I didn't have no books," she said. "I had to study out of my brothers." And she only completed the 7th grade. Since she was young, Aileen would have conversations with her grandmother, prompted by watching the relationship between her grandfather and white half-sister, who acknowledged their kinship, but whose lives were marked by very different privilege.